Hello, my name is Floyd Maxwell, justthinkit.com. This is a video on microwave radiation. Call it a wolf in sheep's clothing. We have radiation everywhere these days. Even just hearing the word radiation is kind of uncomfortable. We sort of react to it. There are sort of basic types. There's ionizing and non-ionizing. Ionizing radiation is stronger, more harmful, but we rarely encounter it here on Earth, so I'm not going to talk about it further in this video. There are several types of non-ionizing radiation. The low-level non-ionizing radiation is that from the sun. Like the stuff that gives you, skin cancer or sunburn is lower-level radiation. Microwave radiation is the next step up. But the interesting thing is you just don't find it in nature. It's just only a man-made radiation. Wikipedia says that microwave radiation can heat tissue and is possibly carcinogenic. And this is where the controversy begins. They say that the dose makes the poison. Wikipedia says this is the sort of the standard phrase behind toxicology. Well, in simpler words, what it means to me anyway is things are bad for you or harmless depending on how much of it you are hit with. And so it is with microwave radiation. Given that there are no natural sources of microwave radiation, it's safe to say that humans and most probably all living creatures have not evolved special defenses from microwaves. But they've done tests and know exactly how much microwave radiation we can handle, right? Well, no, they haven't. All they have studied is how much microwave radiation it takes to heat us up from a half inch away from the side of an adult thickness simulated head, based on the average of 20,000 members of the military. Hey, who doesn't like being treated like they're in the military? Such as this is, there at least is a rule. And cell phone makers follow it, to the decimal point. Users don't. For starters, non-adults with thinner skulls use cell phones. None of us hold a cell phone half an inch away from our heads when we're using it. Yet in the world of microwave energy sources, cell phones are a medium and at times just a minor player, depending on the brand of cell phone. Since there are a handful of sources of microwaves, let's briefly discuss each of them. Microwaves are one of the few things that we receive less of at work than at home. Work computers are usually wired to the network. Work telephones are usually corded. Microwaves, if they're in the workplace at all, are in the break room. And there's probably no smart meter just a few feet away from your head. This is not to minimize workplace threats, as every workplace is different. Instead, it should help us realize that in our own homes, we are all in unique situations with regard to microwave radiation. If we don't perform measurements in our own home, each of us will truly have no idea what our dose is. So let's look at the numbers. These will be ballpark numbers to give you a sense of what's worse than what. Start off with microwave ovens. There's no real surprise here. It's right in the name of the appliance. Microwave ovens are used to heat food, after all. There are strict standards regulating microwaves, but if you stick a meter right in front of the shielded front door of the oven, you will measure 60,000 to 80,000 microwatts per meter squared. When I tried putting a very large sheet of aluminum mesh in front of the microwave, thinking I would effectively be blocking it, there was no change in the reading. The next source of microwaves is cordless DECT phones, D-E-C-T. DECT is a new digital standard for cordless phones. It's been around a few years now, and people have sort of all gradually upgraded. My neighbors just recently upgraded, and we upgraded here a couple years ago. It's a better cordless phone. It gives you better coverage and, better quality of a call throughout your house when you walk around with a cordless phone. And this convenience does have a cost. With my own home's former DECT system, I measured levels up to 8,000 microwatts per meter squared at the base station. Individual handsets in our system, which was a fairly new Panasonic one, sent out little or no radiation until a call came in or I placed a call with one of the phones. Then levels were in the 1,000 to 6,000 microwatt per meter squared range, and they remained high throughout the call. Smart meters. Smart meters are found in many homes these days. They've been sold to us, consumers, as a way to lower our energy costs. The name certainly suggests we would be dumb to not have one. In reality, a smart meter saves you one thing, meter reading trips. So, one trip per house per month is not needed. My back-of-the-envelope calculation of the savings is in the realm of $20 a house a year. Let's make that five times bigger and call it $100 a year annual savings. The cost is that a smart meter is a cell phone tower attached to your house. Readings from smart meters are a bit elusive to obtain. It can take several minutes before it decides to call the office. When it does, it broadcasts microwave radiation. I did a search on Google and just sort of, looking for standards for the smart meters, and one of the first hits was Vermont So in Vermont, the maximum radiation a smart meter can radiate is about 3,000 microwatts per meter squared. Some of the problems with smart meters are they can and are used to track exactly what you're doing inside your home. Each appliance that you run takes a certain amount of juice, a certain amount of amps. They're all typically the same voltage, but your stove is not, it's double. But they take different amounts of amperage, and they have a different power factor. You know, without getting too technical and electrical engineering-y on you, the power factor basically is like a ratio of impedance to inductance. The bottom line is that you get fairly distinct signatures from stuff. And probably if you just use a little bit of heuristics, a little bit of sort of calculation, it's morning, well, it's probably a toaster or the microwave or your stove, you know, kind of analysis, or a hairdryer. You can probably pretty quickly build up a profile of exactly what someone's doing in their home. And I think you can safely say that's exactly what they're doing right now. And they're not just keeping it to themselves. There's no money in keeping this knowledge to yourself, is there? Anyway, you never signed up for this level of privacy invasion. Utility companies don't have the mandate or the authority to spy on you. And one guy on a YouTube video, he counted how many times did his smart meter call home. And in one night, 8 hours, it called the office 1,400 times. That's 1,400 cell phone conversations broadcast from the side of your home. Unfortunately, it is close to impossible to rid yourself of a smart meter once you've had one force installed on your property, whether you wanted it or not, whether you asked for it or not, whether you knew about it or not. Finally, smart meters talk to other smart meters constantly. If your resident techie isn't getting a Skynet vibe at this point, ask them to turn in their geek card. Cell phones. Cell phones vary a lot, but the most guaranteed way to get a reading, especially a high reading, on a cell phone is just turn it on. My cell phone puts out 2,000 to 4,000 microwatts per meter squared on startup. At this point, the three different types of phones I tested, things vary a little bit. Like with my phone, when I start a call, punch in the number and hit talk, it will start sending out microwave radiation at an intensity of up to 10,000 microwatts per meter squared. Once the call is made, the level drops, but still, you can get stuff in the 500 microwatt per meter squared range. Hold your phone at arm's length until the connection has been made. Results were similar with the second cell phone, but with the third one I tried, I was not able to detect any significant radiation while calls were made, while the person talked on the phone, etc. If I was trying to determine just by my meter when this person did anything on their phone, I couldn't tell. So they got lucky. So your phone might be one of these, you know, let's call them zero, almost zero radiation phones, or it could be a substantial amount like mine. So do you feel lucky? And there are other things that produce microwaves. Baby monitors. Most of these new baby monitors are decked phones in disguise. The big difference is they are always on a call. It's basically one long phone call. Readings are, one person on the YouTube made measurements and got readings of 1,000 watts per meter squared from the recommended 6 feet away. Well, of course, people don't read recommendations. They don't care. They don't get that far. Well, they care, but they don't get that far to know about it. So they put it closer. Well, if you put it twice as close, the readings amount will double. If you put it four times as close, that's a foot and a half away, which is quite feasible. Probably some of them put it right in the crib, right, 6 inches away. But anyway, we'll say a foot and a half away, then you're looking at 4,000 watts per meter squared. Your child's first decked phone. How cute. On my own computing systems in the house here, I've long since disabled my computer router's ability to transmit information wirelessly because it's very hackable. And my mice and keyboards are all corded for the same reason. So I got lucky there. But I have turned on our networking router, and I have measured on other routers, and I can tell you that computer routers are some of the most bursty, i.e. spikes, continuous spikes of microwave radiation that I've ever measured. And we're talking really intense, really high energy. I just turned on my router's wireless this morning and got readings of 22,000 microwatts per meter squared. There was a group, Salford et al. In 1997, and they found that levels right around there, right around 25,000 microwatts per meter squared, caused, quote, damage to the blood-brain barrier. I'm not a doctor, but that doesn't sound all that awesome to me. By the way, when I was measuring the router this morning, the volts per meter, which is the other scale that this machine, this meter, automatically displays and tracks, and the volts per meter was off the scale. This is a brand new meter. Again, just intuition tells you that when you buy a brand new meter and you get a reading right off the scale, whatever that is, that's putting out a lot. when you go to your local library, you're being dosed continuously with microwave radiation from a wireless router. It's just another service to the community, I suppose. According to the specification, there are at least 16 different frequencies that police and fire officials are able to broadcast on. In today's Orwellian world, it's probably illegal to report what those levels, what their levels are, never mind trying to measure them for yourself. It's safe to say that police and fire radios are higher powered than consumer radios, and so the threat to them, the people using them, is probably significant. For Joe and Jane Citizen, it's not much of a concern unless you live near a firehouse. Radar guns. Now, I don't even know if I deliberately searched on radar guns, but I got a hit on it and read that page. On this page, they said that radar guns generally put out, quote, in most cases, less than 20 microwatts per centimeter squared. Sounds great, right? 20? That's low. That's microwatts per centimeter squared. There's 100 centimeters to the meter, 10,000 centimeters squared to the meter squared, so you have to multiply by 10,000. So let's read that again. Radar guns put out, in most cases, less than 200,000 microwatts per meter squared. I did a little conversion just based on the energy from my microwave, which is in the 60 to 70,000 range. If you're operating a police radar gun, it's the equivalent of having three microwaves a few inches from your head, and all of them are on the whole time your gun is on. This could become the new definition of karma. At least now we know why they have gone to unmanned speed monitoring vans. Are there other sources? Well, there are probably a few other miscellaneous sources, and if I run across any new ones, I'll update my webpage and let you know. But for most of us, that's about it. Except for the unfortunate few living within a few blocks of a cell phone tower, or one of those remarkably small rooftop repeater masts, or those of us visiting an establishment, typically a restaurant, next to a cell phone tower or repeater mast. Or those school children who have had a cell phone repeater tower erected across the street. But otherwise, you know, you're good to go. There's no other sources, don't worry about it. Outside of my home, I've measured street levels as high as 17,000 microwatts per meter squared. That's a third of a microwave all the time. All the time. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you have a wall of microwaves outside your house. Within three or four blocks of a cell phone tower or feeder mast, levels are at least 600 microwatts per meter squared everywhere. Guaranteed. Except basements. You're not as afraid of spiders, are you? Line of sight is a particular problem. Basically, if you can see the mast, you're being irradiated at the highest levels. And note that seeing means your path to the tower is not blocked by aluminum or copper mesh. Not too much of that around, is there? Generally, windows are made out of glass. Well, it turns out that walls, windows, and even chimneys are essentially transparent to microwaves. Your castle walls are made of glass to the microwave cannonball. Right outside my home, I have measured levels up to 5,000 microwatts per meter squared, commonly in the 1,000-2,000 range, and never lower than 700 for line of sight, with the mass one city block away as the radiation flies. On the inside walls of my home, I have measured 1,400 microwatts per meter squared. Continuous measurement inside my home. Cell phone towers and masts never sleep, their calls never stop, their popcorn never finishes popping, and their baby monitoring is continuous. I would not want you to conclude that cell phone towers or masts are the only or even the biggest microwave radiation threat to you. They're just the biggest microwave radiation source you can't easily turn off or avoid. They're the fluoridated water of the microwave radiation world. Baby monitors are the bubblegum-flavored fluoridated toothpaste. Cell phones are the fluoride tablets given to your children at school. Decked phones are the fluoridated beverages you unconsciously drink throughout your day. And microwave ovens are the unregulated 20,000 parts per million or higher fluoride paste your dentist thoughtfully gives you as a periodontal preventative that doesn't work and in fact makes things worse, but luckily you never accidentally swallow any of it. Microwave radiation and fluoridation should become sister cities. Let's rename them Georgeville and 99%ville. So what do all these numbers mean? And if microwave ovens are the worst offenders, but are strictly regulated, do we have anything at all to worry about? This will depend on who you ask. If you ask ICNIRP, that's the International Commission on Non-Ionizing Radiation, quote, an independent voice in NIR protection, quote, you will find that all is well and you can go back to watching American Gladiators. ICNIRP says you are fine with 2 million to 10 million microwatts per meter squared, depending on the frequency of the microwave radiation. For example, ICNIRP says that you are fine if your DECT phone, typically operating at 900 MHz, is putting out 4.5 million microwatts per meter squared. For more about the savage lunacy that is ICNIRP, watch the documentary Resonance Beings of Frequency. It's tubable. And now for more realistic numbers. My acoustimeter came with a small manual. In the back of it, there's a list of guidance levels put out by various bodies and countries, inversely sorted by maximum level. ICNIRP was at the top, obviously. Russia was next, perhaps not too surprisingly, saying that 100,000 microwatts per meter squared is fine. Italy, in 1999, also said that 100,000 microwatts per meter squared should be the limit. Belgium says 24,000. While the U.S. FCC in 1999 said the maximum level for a city dweller should be less than 10,000. So this means, by the way, that my neighbors just down the street are being irradiated at a level higher than the FCC maximum allows. Vienna, Austria also agrees with these others in setting their limit at 10,000. In 2013, however, Italy dropped their maximum level by 10,000%. They dropped it down to 1,000 microwatts per meter squared. And this is the same as the group at Salzburg agreed upon in 1998 and 2000, and the same figure that the 2007 Bioinitiative set. Canada also has this level of 1,000. Halfway through this list, and already your microwave oven, your wireless router, your cordless phone, your DECT phone, your smart meter, your cell phone, your baby monitor, and those tiny little cell phone masts down the block are all above some of these highest, so far, recommended maximum levels. But wait, there's less. In 2012, 5 years after their first recommendation, Bioinitiative lowered their maximum level by a factor of 20,000%, by a factor of 200 times. They dropped it down to 5 microwatts per meter squared. Any more and you'll feel it, negatively. Similarly, Salzburg, just 2 years after the previous conference, reduced their maximum, and they set two maximums, an outdoor maximum, dropping it by a factor of 100 to 10, and a new indoor maximum, where they dropped it by a factor of 1,000 down to just 1 microwatt per meter squared. Your microwave puts out 60,000. The smallest number in the acoustimeter appendix is the level that mobile phones will actually work at. 0.00003 microwatts per meter squared. So, the lowest levels that are fine and healthy and recommended now are still 30,000 times higher, 3,000,000% higher, than the minimum that a cell phone needs to operate. There can be peace in our time. Wait, what about this for a smart idea? Warning, sarcasm zone. Hashtag 1984. Since microwave radiation decreases as the square of the distance, your cellular phone habit would be much more healthily serviced by a miniature cell phone tower in your home or at your cubicle instead of those big, ugly, nasty cell phone towers. Click here to order your I Love the New World Order t-shirt. First addict them, then enslave them. If you do it well, they won't even notice. Alright, let's try and digest this. What should we make of all these suggested maximums? Well, number one, ICNIRP is not part of this galaxy. Never mind this planet. You could be in a room the size of a phone booth with every available surface composed of the doors of working microwave ovens, 150 of them, and you would still be receiving a dose lower than ICNIRP thinks you need to worry about. And besides, you could be watching American Gladiators instead. Number two, in three cases, governing bodies lowered their recommended maximum levels, but no one has ever raised them. Think of this as the Philip Morris progression, the 4 out of 5 Dr. Smoke Camel cigarettes marketing slogan becoming 2 out of 5 Dr. Smoke Camels. Can you see what the ultimate recommendation will be, or are you just going to wait for the $1 trillion lawsuit? Three, when the maximum levels were lowered, they were lowered by factors of 100. 200 and 1,000, and by three different organizations. Clearly a new source of concern was found. 4. Current recommended maximum indoor levels are 1 to 10 million times lower than ICNIRP recommendations. As someone said in the movie Resonance, Beings of Frequency, ICNIRP is irrelevant. Another put it this way, if you want to make sure that no one speeds in a school zone, set the speed limit at 1,000 miles per hour. In other words, if you want all the devices to be compliant, every deck phone, wireless router, baby monitor, and cell mast to all be putting out safe levels of energy, then set the bar ridiculously high. To quote a former president, mission accomplished. 5. If everyone but ICNIRP is right, or at least on the right track, our thinking and actions about everything microwave needs to change drastically and immediately. Betting on number 5, I have made changes in my life. Come with me now as I reintroduce you to the 1960s. I still use the microwave oven, but leave the room when it is running. Levels one room away are around 300. I can live with that for a couple minutes a day, for now. Cost? Zero. I recently treated the household to a Panasonic toaster oven that uses two forms of infrared heat to cook twice as fast, works perfectly, food tastes better than from the microwave, and the half the time claim checks out. As mentioned above, and for other security reasons, I don't have wireless networking in the house. Actually, I have the ability, and when I need it, for one of the laptops that I sometimes use, I turn it on for Windows and other updates, then turn it off. Any computers needing a regular internet connection get it from a cable. By the way, cable connections are much more reliable, so the cost? $10 a cable, total of $40, and no more wireless moochers parked out front of the house. 2 weeks ago, I replaced our 5-decked phone system with a 5-wired phone system. Wired phones are incredibly cheap and robust. The upgrade cost $50. I turn off my cell phone now, except when I'm on the road or away from home. Cost nothing. I'm not a fireman or a member of law enforcement, so their radar and radio concerns are not mine. Cost nothing. No babies to be monitored means no baby monitor. That leaves the smart meter and those pesky cell phone masts a radiated block away. Cost substantial and worth it. Mr. Sandman, bring me no dreams. If you try an internet search for EMF, the industry term, shielding, you may get zapped with sticker shock. EMF-absorbing materials are very expensive. I saw one site quoting $2,600 for a gallon of microwave-absorbing interior house paint. Spoiler alert, it had particles of copper in it. I imagine a handful of copper particles can be found for less than $2,580. There are all manner of EMF-absorbing devices. There are sleeves for your cell phone that are quite pointless. There are $1,100 Faraday canopies, tents, to you and me, for the person who is everything. And don't forget to shield under your bed, unless you don't need to. There are headband and balaclava shields, shielded gloves, blouses and belly bands, Silverel boxer shorts and Esmog pants. There is even a brain coat. Priced at $50, this one might have a value. Microwaves are sleep robbers because they send out a continuous, "It's daytime!" signal, no matter what the hour is. I first purchased an acoustimeter, modeled AM10, there's probably only one. When I made the purchase, I was doing it to protect myself when venturing out into the hostile world at large. I truly had no idea. After a day of measuring, I knew better. A good EMF meter is your new best friend because you simply do not know what threats there are nor how high the threat level is when you change something. Part of the problem was that levels varied all over the house. The only quiet area was in the basement, and even then I only got green lights on one side of it. Another part of the problem was multiple occupants, people and creatures in every room, so tents and most specialty products were out because they are really, most of them, designed to help one person or two people. My second, and also very significant move, was to find out what the cheapest shielding material is. Turns out it's aluminum netting, mosquito netting. Put aluminum mesh on the most irradiated windows and got a threefold improvement. I would do a window and then measure the result. But when I had covered every window on the two sides of the house that are, you know, the biggest concern, I still had a problem. Third, in for an inch, in for a mile, I started covering the entirety of the two worst walls. Tip, covering non-source walls, walls where you don't have a lot of microwave energy coming in, but rather, if anything, wanting to go out, covering those walls is a bad idea, as you end up trapping the microwaves inside your shelter. And yes, you can make things worse without knowing it. Your EMF meter is your friend. I covered 95% of one wall and about a third of the other wall. Microwave radiation levels in the most affected room went down by a factor of 2, but are still higher than even the recommended outdoor level. So fourth, before finishing that third finished wall, I made 20 measurements throughout the house, writing down on a little pieces of masking tape. I wrote down before readings, and then I turned that 33% wall into an 85% wall. I still haven't even totally finished it, and took fresh after readings. Wow, I'm really glad I did that. I consistently got 10-time reductions on the other side of newly shielded wall areas. Some wall areas, the microwave radiation levels dropped by a factor of 100. That's 10,000% improvement. Literally. It was 1,200 before. 12 after. Multiple examples of this. It wasn't just a one-off. Nice. Some areas were less improved, indicating that other sources needed to be protected against. One of the most interesting and graphic illustrations was the fireplace and chimney, which I had left alone. Turns out a chimney is a wide-open barn door to a microwave. Brick seems to be one of the worst shields from microwave radiation. Looks can be deceiving. Today, I've saved our environment to the point where I can at least sleep better at night, and just as importantly, my body can once again heal itself at night, as it is more than capable of doing. Before the shielding, I slept poorly and felt poorly in the morning. After the shielding, I slept better and feel noticeably better each day. The cool thing about genuine gains is that when they come, they are surprising and unique. Who'd have thunk it kinds of things. Suffice it to say, I am pleasantly and calmly pleased with the changes I've made. The pets were calmer the first afternoon, like they had just had their weekly shampoo, only they ended up getting it the next day. The fifth thing I did is that today I started documenting my adventures in microwave land, to give back as too few have been taught to do. The future. This world is going to be depopulated. They are far along that path. Save yourself is now the most selfless perspective you can have, because your voice, your thoughts, and your actions are greatly diminished in value if you are no longer here to express them. Personally, I'm not eager to be part of the 500 million. But then it's unlikely in my remaining years that the population will drop below, let's say, 5 billion people by 2030. Still, some who care should try to survive. Could the last caring person please turn out the light? Thank you. We live in fantastically unenlightened times. The most selfish age ever! Yay, us! But it is never too late. Where there's a will, there's always a way. How do you plan on surviving and thriving? Drop me an email if it will make either of us feel better. Good luck with your life. Take care.